welcome to Tuned To Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levenier, with you for an hour of comedy. Later on, we hear Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis in their second broadcast ever on network radio. Right now, it's the Red Skelton program from June 11th, 1950 on CBS. We'll hear some of his famous characters like Willie Lump Lump and Junior the Mean Whittle Kid, with the support of David Rose and the orchestra, and co-stars Pat McGeehan, Rod O'Connor, and Lorene Tuttle.
Transcribed from Hollywood, the Red Skelton Show. With Red Skelton, David Rose and his orchestra, Lorene Tuttle, Pat McGee and Dick Ryan and the Smith Twins will be me, Rod O'Connor. Things I could say about the star of our show, but the censor warned me against it. So here's MGM's favorite clown, Red Skelton.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hiya, Rod.
Hiya, Red. What have you been doing all week?
Well, they're shooting my new picture out at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
With a camera or a gun?
Yeah. Now, how can you stand there and laugh like that, huh? Especially after you've just been fired.
Oh, come on, Red. You shouldn't mind if I tell a joke once in a while.
Oh, I'm only kidding. One thing about me, I'm different from most comics. I don't care if somebody else gets a laugh on the show. I don't want all the glory. You just go right ahead. Tell any joke you want to, you big fat slobbing off. No, go right ahead. Of course, for every laugh you get, I'll take 25 cents out of your salary.
Tell me something.
Yeah?
What's your salary?
Huh? Something in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Someday I'll put it in your contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the reason I don't want to give you in a contract is because I don't want you to lose your amateur standing.
Oh, I see.
I didn't mean that. No. You're very good. You're very good. In a repulsive sort of way. I beat you to it, boy.
Yes, you did. Touché. Tell me something. Is making a movie hard work?
Oh, sure. You have to get up every morning at 6 o'clock, get to the studio by 7, have my makeup on, be on the set by 8, make love to a leading lady till noon, and have an hour off for lunch, and then have to work till 5 or 6, 7 o'clock at night making love to the leading lady again. It's really tough.
Yeah, on the leading lady. You know, Red, I like to break into pictures. How about finding a part for me? And I don't want anything special. I could play an ordinary, average human being or something.
Oh, I didn't know you did imitations.
I didn't dare either. Well, after all, you know, someone had to give you your start in pictures.
Yeah, I remember. The guy gave me about a 15-minute head start.
Say, maybe you can tell me, Red, why in Hollywood can some of the get to be big stars while other people have a lot of talent and they never make it?
Well, the way I look at it, talent is relative. Yeah. One guy is talent and the other guy is the relative.
Hiya, Skelton. All set to go?
Yeah.
What are you doing with that shotgun?
Well, you said we're going to shoot a little golf today, didn't you?
Oh, no.
Say, it was nice of Dave Rose to get us those guest cards for the California Country Club. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very nice of him. I played golf. I played golf once, and I was in a bunker so long that a guy came along and paid me off. He thought I was working there. I got a birdie yesterday.
You did?
The second hole, the birdie got me.
Hey, what are we going to do at the Country Club? Can you really play golf?
Huh?
Can you really play golf?
No.
Tennis?
No.
Well, what are you going to do?
Anyone for tiddlywink? I shoot a low tiddly, you know.
Oh, let's get going.
Yeah.
At least we can have lunch there.
Boy, what a great
picture. Hey, watch where you're going! Hey, did you see that guy?
Yeah, what a jerk.
Yeah, imagine walking on the sidewalk where we can't get him.
Say, we ought to be getting to the Country Club any minute now.
Okay, Herm.
Oh, boy, it sure is a nice day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Red, look out for that stop signal.
Yep. Well, that's long enough pause for that thing. Oh, look, there's a wedding procession going into the church.
Yeah, there's the bride and groom.
And her father. How about that, a
white shotgun for wedding.
Hey, there's a hitchhiker up ahead.
Now, let's stop and give her a lift, huh? Well, how about it? Old Polly the panhandler.
Howdy, Jim.
Hi, Polly.
I've been standing here for an hour now, and you're the first fight I've had.
Oh.
Nobody else stopped for you, huh?
Yeah, garbage truck. They refused to pick me up, said I'd give the truck a bad name.
I bet you were insulted, huh?
Well, not like I was insulted last summer. Last summer I was laying on the beach taking a sunbath, and all the men kept staring at me. They just couldn't keep their eyes off me.
Why were you insulted? You should have been flattered.
Well, I was until a couple of lifeguards came over and said, "Oh, look, another dead whale's been washed up on the beach."
Well, don't feel too badly, blubber girl.
Now you men are all alike.
Good.
Well, you wouldn't happen to have a bucket of beer on you, would you? I'd like to soak my feet.
Well, tell me something. How come you're hitchhiking? Why didn't you take the bus?
Well, the people on the bus are so rude. Yesterday, a man sat down next to me so hard he nearly sprained my wrist. Oh. It was in his hip pocket at the time. Say, you don't happen to have some old milk bottle bottoms? I gotta fix my bifocals.
What's wrong with your glasses?
Well, I've been watching television too much, and the lenses are all bloodshot.
Why don't you get another pair?
Well, I asked my optometrist to give me a pair on credit, but...
No dice, huh?
Oh, yeah, I got a pair of dice. Want to roll me for five?
Well, we'd give you a ride, Polly, but we're turning here to the country
club. Yeah, we're turning.
Oh, well, never mind, fellas. Looks like I'm going to get a better offer. I just can't resist a man in uniform. So long, young...
Goodbye,
boy, this country club is sure a big place, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're sure particular about the way you act around here. Look at all those signs. Look at this one. Don't walk on the grass. Here's one that says, don't walk on the walk. Here's another one that says, don't pick the petunias.
Yeah, there's a sign that just says, don't.
I wonder what they feel about breathing. Huh? Hey, look at the people playing golf. Hey, there's a guy ready to tee off now.
Four.
One word and you can't even say that. How do you like that? One word in the whole square.
There's a scale actor if I ever saw one.
You want to yell again? Well, hey, look at that ball travel. Did you see where it went, Rod? Rod, I asked you, did you see where the ball went? Spit it out of your mouth and answer me, will you? Well,
I hope he doesn't have to play it out of my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, here we are at the front of the clubhouse now. Act very dignified. Pretend I don't know you.
Just a minute there. Where do you two untouchables think you're going?
Now, don't get your carnation in an uproar. We got passports for you.
Are you members of this club? You don't smell like members.
Well, maybe that's because we're masqueraded as a couple of air wigs. Now, here's our guest card. Put your English porthole on that. That's a monocle to you.
Why, you're Red Skelton.
That's me.
And you're Rod O'Connor.
I am. I mean, yes, I am.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to see you.
You are?
Yes, when I called for a plumber, I didn't expect you so soon. Now, hurry and fix that leak in the lily pond. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Now, look, we're friends of David Rose.
You mean the Dave Rose?
No, them Dave Rose. You know, the trial-size Toscanini.
Well, I guess I'll have to let you in. But mind you, I'll stand for no tomfoolery. No tomfoolery.
Oh, go stamp your foot. Come on,
Ron. Yeah. This door leads to the swimming pool. Let's go take a look at it.
No, I don't feel like taking a dip. I wonder where the waiting pool is.
Hey, Red, look who the lifeguard is. Willie Lumplum. Oh. I'm going over and talk to him.
Go ahead. I'm going to take off my shoes and socks and sunbathe my feet.
Hey, Willie. Are you really a lifeguard?
Oh, what are you like to know?
Tell me something. How long have you worked here?
Thanks me. All I know is that last week I went down to collect my unemployment check, see? And when I wasn't looking, somebody chloroformed me just to get my spot in the line, you see? And when I came through, I had a job. I'm telling you, boy, getting you to work a pretty sneaky waiting day.
Now,
don't know who the guy was that did it, but believe me, I will get him if it's the last thing I do.
You know, you sure look silly sitting up there with water wings
on. Yeah, I had a heavy dew this morning, and I almost drowned. You know, I got to take these water wings off. There's a seagull flying around here that thinks I'm one of his babies, and all morning long, he's been stuffing worms down my throat.
Tell me, have you saved many swimmers?
Well, wait till I find it here, I'll tell you. I was busy this morning. My mother-in-law was here, and she can't swim, you know.
She can't?
No. She thinks she could swim with them webbed feet of hers, but anyway, they had to pull her out of the pool 5 times. They had to pull her out 5 times.
They had to pull her out? Why didn't you pull her out?
I was busy pushing her in. First time I had fun with the old girl in ages, you know.
Well, you realize, of course, she will get you if it's the last thing she does.
You realize we're going to miss you around here next week, boy. You shouldn't talk like that to me. I'm a sick man, a very sick man. I have no blood.
What do you mean? Everybody has blood.
Not me. My parents couldn't afford it.
Well, if you don't have blood, how do you stay alive?
I fake it.
You must have blood. When you cut yourself, what comes out?
An IOU from the blood bank.
Willie,
you seem like you're doing all right.
No, that woman's in trouble there in the pool.
Yeah? Well, I'll stay where I'll fix her.
Well, what are you doing?
Draining the pool. I can't swim.
A composition by Leroy Anderson is now played by David Rose and his orchestra, The Trumpeter's Lullaby. It features Rafael Mendez as soloist.
I think I'll play a little golf, Red. I'm going down to the locker room and try and rinse some clubs.
Yeah, I'll go out there with you. You know what would be...
Oh, cut it out! Well, anything I hate is a sound man who'll ad-lib.
Hey, Red.
Yeah?
Here's the locker room.
I'll see you later.
Yeah. Say, fella, could you please tell me...
What?
Well...
It's Cauliflower McPug, the punchy fighter who's always hearing birds and bells. What are you doing here, Cauliflower?
What do you think I'm doing here? I'm in charge of the... What do you suppose I'm supposed to be in charge of here, boy? What do you think you got me around? I don't know. What am I doing here?
Still as punchy as ever, huh?
You're tight for Thor Eyes, boy, and believe me, I got him. I got him. Boy, I got Thor Eyes. That's where my fort last night kept poking my nose in my eye. Mm-hmm. Look at my nose. Look at it. That's a nose?
You really got beat up, huh?
Right there, boy. Yeah, because I tried a new style of fighting. Yeah. I stood up for a change. When I'm flat on my back, I feel more at home, you know. I have to lay down so people will recognize me, you know.
I think you ought to quit fighting while you still know what time it is.
Oh, don't worry. I'll retire before I get like some of these guys, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, there in the ring, go home. They start hearing bells and birds, you know. Bells and birds. When you start hearing them, you're gone. That's why I say I will quit. Pardon me. Grab the phone, will you?
Well, there's no phone around here.
What's that?
I say there's no phone around here.
Well, suppose somebody would tell a guy to keep calling up here all the time, huh? Oh, boy, I'm tired. I'm glad this day's over. I'll be glad when this day's over. I'll get some sleep tonight.
Aren't you fighting tonight?
That's why I know I'm going to get some sleep.
Tell me something. Are you in charge of the locker room here?
Yeah, that's a sideline with me. You see, boxing's my real profession, you see. I do this so I can eat.
Don't you make much money fighting?
I get $25 every time I fight, but out of that, I gotta pay my manager $10. Then I gotta pay my trainer $5. The hospital $15. The rest of it, those gravy.
Well, what rest are you talking about? You only get $25 and you pay out $30. That leaves you $5 in the hole.
That's better than being out of work.
Oh, boy, are you stupid. How much you can't even count above 10?
You want to bet?
Yeah.
I went to grade school, brother. I went to grade school. And I finished all 18 years, too.
Okay, wise guy, let's hear you count.
I was in one grade so long, they had to get extradition paper to get me out of it.
All right, let's hear you count.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
What comes after 10?
The fellow with stretchers carried me out. Hey, listen, somebody's lost a canary. How can that poor little thing fly around with them cowbells around its neck?
Boy, you really slipped your trolley.
Well, you think I've come unwound, huh? Mm. You should see some of them rattlers that come down here this morning, you know. They were all in the bar celebrating. They were setting up drinks because one of them shot a hole in one. It said, "Drink up, you got a hole in one. Drink up."
Well, what's wrong with that?
They've been playing tennis. Well, I got to go see the manager of the club here. I'm going to ask him for a raise, but I don't think I'll get it.
What makes you think he won't give you a raise?
He fired me yesterday. No, I almost stepped on the canary.
I'm gonna go watch the golfers for a while. Oh, there's Junior and his mother at the first tee.
Now, Junior, stand back while Mother tees off.
Okay.
Your father insisted that I learn to play golf, and I'm going to do it.
Well, he probably got tired of you teeing off on him, huh? Say, how did the brawl you and Pop have last night turn out? How did that turn out?
Well, your father and I didn't have a brawl.
Oh, come now, kiddo. Don't tell me he got them black eyes just from kissing you goodnight.
Junior, you were in bed asleep when your father got home last night. You don't know anything that happened.
I got news for you, kiddo. I was not asleep. The Sandman sure changed me last night. I woke up at 12 o'clock and I heard Pop come home D-O-A.
D-O-A?
Drunk on delivery.
On arrival.
Junior, your father had not been drinking.
Oh, no, then how come when you asked to smell his breath, he blew it on you and your red hair turned to its natural color?
No. All right, Dimples.
Dimples?
Now, you just keep quiet while I tee off.
Oh, no.
Now, I've got to remember what your father told me.
What's that?
Now, here, feet spread apart.
You're always like that, ain't you?
Firm grip on the club.
Well?
Head down. All right, now, I swing the club. Perfect form.
You forgot one thing.
What?
The ball. I'm holding it in my hand.
Junior, give me that ball.
Okay. Well, wait till I let go of it.
Did you fall down and hurt yourself?
Yes, I hurt myself.
That's a good boy.
Yeah.
Junior and Lorraine. Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, shut up, shut up, shut up. Why don't you get lost in the rough someplace, lard hip?
Junior, why can't you say something nice about me?
Because I insult them the way I see them.
Just ignore him, Rod. Yeah. I wish the stork had.
Yeah. Well, he sure got it in for that stork, boy. He never lived me down, believe me.
Isn't it a beautiful day, Lorraine?
Yes, isn't it a beautiful day?
Yes, it certainly is.
It certainly is. Isn't it invigorating? Just stand there and fill your lungs with smog.
Just ignore him, Rod.
Yeah, just ignore him.
You know, I'm having a difficult time learning how to play golf.
Well, maybe I can give you a few pointers.
We're not going hunting. We don't need pointers.
I'll show you the way I hit the ball. See, I'm considered quite a good golfer. I shoot in the low 80s.
Yeah, you shoot a lot of bull, too, don't you?
Just ignore him. Junior, put the ball on the tee for Rod.
Oh, boy, I've been waiting for an opportunity like this, boy. I'm going to stick this tack in this ball with a rubber band on the ball, and then I'll tie the other ball to the end of the cup here, and the result should have proved quite interesting, you know. Okay, all righty, go ahead, swing.
All right, now watch this, Lorraine.
Ignore me, Mummy. Boy, look at that lump between his eyes. He looked like he got a double-decker nose. Look at that.
What am I going to do with a child to make him behave?
Well, you could always have him stuffed and put over the mantle.
Yes. Hey, you know where I was just a minute ago? I was in the clubhouse, and I saw a deer head over the fireplace.
You did?
It's amazing. That's amazing.
What?
Oh, you. Can you realize how fast that animal had to be running to come through the wall like that? They're so much better when they're not there, you know. Oh, boy. Hey, can I hit the ball once?
Oh, all right. Just one.
Okay, watch me hit the ball. I'm going to knock it a mile.
Now, Junior, look out. Don't aim at the clubhouse.
It's too late, you know.
Oh, no.
Boy, don't stand there with your mouth open. Mark on me scorecard. One window. Will you? Shall we try for two?
That's a hole in one, boy.
That's a real hole in one.
Oh, Junior, just wait till I get my hands on you.
You will never take me alive.
Come on, Rod, let's catch him. Run, Rod.
Well, I'm running as fast as my girdle will allow me.
I think he's hiding somewhere in these high weeds. Junior, are you in there?
You think I'm going to snitch on myself? You're nuts.
You, Junior.
Remember, you're dealing with a Hopalong Cassidy fan. Boy, watch your step, kiddo.
Here he is, Lorraine.
No, I caught you.
Well, we all have to go sooner or later.
Junior, what are you hiding behind your back?
Just a sign I picked up as we started in the weeds here.
Oh, a sign? Let's see it.
Oh,
it just says poison ivy. Poison ivy!
Yeah, looks like we're all going to start from scratch, don't it?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, until next week...
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now, and thanks for listening.
The Red Skelton Show on Tuned to Yesterday from June 11th, 1950 on CBS. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now time for the Martin and Lewis Show, their second network radio broadcast from April 10th, 1949 on NBC, part of their Monday night lineup at 10 o'clock. Going head-to-head with another popular comedy program, My Friend Irma, over on CBS, which followed the Lux Radio Theater, and in tandem, a lot of their listeners stayed on to enjoy the comedy show. So NBC put their chips behind the comedy team that actually made their film debut in an adaptation of My Friend Irma on the silver screen. It's Martin and Lewis.
Company brings you the new Martin and Lewis Show. Our guest tonight, William Bendix, and featuring Mary Hatcher, Flo McMichael, Marvin Miller, Dick Stabile, and his orchestra. Last week, NBC introduced a young new comedy team in their first radio program. And here at the microphone in Hollywood's famous Studio C, we find, still somewhat dazed and awed by it all, Dean Martin.
What a day this has been.
bed.
Well, Jerry, I'm the singer on the show. You're the comedian. And remember last week we found out that singing is a very important part of the program.
What do you want to stop pushing me around for? The show is hardly even starting. Already you're picking on me already.
Well, I'm not picking on you, Jerry. It's just that, you know...
Yes, you are, Demont. You're always shoving me around, abusing me, trying to be the big man. Well, it's bad enough I found out tonight that 70-30 is not an even split. Now, let's get back to that 60-40.
Sure, 60-40. Anything you say, pal, you know, we're buddies. If you want 60-40, you get it. Now, is it all right if I go ahead and sing my song?
You want to sing the number now? I don't be if you want it. Whoa, go ahead, sing it.
Pack up all my cares and woes. Here I go while I'm singing low. Bye, bye, blackbird. Where somebody waits for me, sugar sweet and honey so sweet. Bye, bye, my blackbird. No one here can love and understand me. All the hard luck stories they all hand me. So make the bed and lie the light. I'm coming home late tonight. Blackbird, bye-bye. No one here can love and understand me. All the hard luck stories they all hand me. So make the bed light the light, 'cause I'm coming home late tonight. Blackbird, bye-bye.
Hey, Dean, just ask me what I think of your singing.
Okay, Jer. What do you think of my singing?
Sure.
Ah, come on, Jerry. Get serious. You know, this is our second program. Did you get any reaction from our first show?
Oh, yeah. All the columns said you were great. And in this newspaper clipping, just listen what the critics said about me. Jerry Lewis, a new comedian, was also on the show. And in my opinion, he was a very funny and... Oh, isn't this funny? Oh. And he never had an... Oh, wow.
What did he say?
He thought I was awful.
Oh, Jerry, let me see that.
No, it's no use, Dean. He didn't like me. He thought I was terrible. He thought my jokes weren't funny.
But Jerry...
No, I'm a failure.
What?
I'm a failure. He hates me, Dean. Everybody hates me.
Come on. Jerry, snap out of it. It's just one man's opinion.
But how can he think that I was so bad? I'm loaded with talent. Gee, I can tell poems like, there was an old man named McGill who ran up and down every hill. When someone inquired, don't that make you feel tired? He said, nah. And I can tell jokes, too. On the way to the studio tonight, I met a botanist.
Really, Jerry? A botanist? What does a botanist do?
He sews on buttons. And I can do imitations. A seal. Girl seal. A boy and a girl seal.
Too. Give me the road. The wide winding highway, that's where I go. The unbeaten highway.
Hi, Jerry. All right.
You know something, Dean? The critic was right.
Look, Jerry, forget what the critic said.
No, Dean. I'm only in your way. You should have a classy-looking partner instead of me. Look at me.
skinny, undernourished, homely, awkward, slumped over, no chest. I'm a mess.
Nah, Jerry, you're not. Why, you're handsome. You're a man. You're fascinating. You know, I never realized what a mess you really are. But, Jerry, this is all unimportant. The important thing is we finally made it. Here we are on the stage of this great radio studio where so many famous stars were born. Bing Crosby sang from this stage. Bob Hope tells his jokes from this stage. And isn't it wonderful that we're here, too?
Yeah, Dean, maybe someday we'll be big stars like Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Maybe someday we'll make pictures like them and build a road to Dorothy Lamour.
Jerry. Anyway, Jerry. Well, come in. Who is it?
It's me.
Why, it's the maid who cleans our apartment. What are you doing down here at NBC, miss?
Well, I've been going to secretarial school at nights for 6 months, and I just graduated, and I want you to give me a job as your secretary.
As our secretary? But we don't need a secretary.
Well, that's fine. Here I go to school all the time, and I buy papers and books and pencils, and I learn to be a secretary, and you don't need a secretary. Where does that leave me? Now that I know so much, I won't want to be a hotel maid anymore, and I'll lose interest in my work, and the manager will say to me, why did you lose interest in your work? And I'll say, because I'm above this sort of thing. And he'll say, oh, you're too good for it, are you? And he'll get mad and fire me all because you don't need a secretary. It's people like you that cause unemployment.
But miss, I told you we don't need a secretary. We're just getting started ourselves. We don't have any work for anybody yet.
All right. I understand. You don't want me. Goodbye.
Look, Dean, she's crying. Try and stop her.
Now, wait a minute, miss. Maybe we can use you for typing scripts or something. Yeah, okay, you're hired.
Now, just a minute.
Well, what's the matter?
Well, I'm not going to be rushed into anything.
It's too late now. We just hired you, lady.
Here, take this script that Jerry bought for us to do with William Bendix and go make 6 copies on the typewriter.
Typewriter?
Hey, miss, are you for real? You're supposed to be a secretary and you don't know what a typewriter is?
Well, no, but I'm willing to learn. Well, what is it?
Well, a typewriter. Listen closely. A typewriter is a thing you put on a desk. And it's black, only sometimes it's blue. And once in a while, it's red. And you put a piece of paper in the thing up here. And on the front of it, it's got those things with printing on them that you hit. Tap, 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 until a little bell rings. Bing! That's a typewriter.
Are you asking me, or are you telling me?
I'm wondering.
Pardon me, but if it pays to be ignorant, you two are about ready to retire. Look, here's a script. Go type it and make 6 copies. You can do that, can't you?
Sure, but do you have 6 typewriters?
Look, miss, you don't use 6 typewriters. Just get some carbon paper. It's much faster.
Oh, that's fine. I'll go down and I'll type it all at once. In the time I should be typing the other 5 copies, I'll have nothing to do, so I'll get out my Dick Tracy comic book, and the manager will come over. He probably hates Dick Tracy, and he'll say, oh, reading a Dick Tracy comic book, eh? I'll come. And I'll say, I got nothing else to do right now. And he'll say, oh, loafing on the job, eh? And I'll say, I'm not loafing. And he'll say, oh, talking back to the boss, too, huh? And I'll say something nasty to him, and he'll get mad, and he'll fire me, and all because you won't let me type it over 6 times. My, you're odd people.
Say, what's the matter with him?
Oh, never mind him, Mary. You're with me now. After all, little girl, here we are, just you and me. Well, aren't you going to say anything?
Yes. Where's your partner?
Jerry? You want to meet Jerry?
Oh, yes, I'd go for him. I've seen you both in nightclubs, and I think Jerry's the cute half of the team.
The cute half?
Hey, Dean, I thought that we were supposed to have Mary Hatch on the show tonight. I've been looking all over the studio, and I can't find her.
Oh, slow down, Jerry. This is Mary Hatcher.
I'll go out in the parking lot. Maybe she hasn't come in yet.
Jerry, this is Mary Hatcher.
Maybe she's upstairs, or maybe she went to the wrong studio.
Jerry, I'm telling you, this is Mary Hatcher.
Glad to know you. I'll just look around once more. Oh, you're Mary Hatcher. Hey, Dean, I found her.
Well, Mary, that's him. You'll have to excuse how Jerry looks. He's a little tired tonight. He got in a fight with his animal crackers, and he lost.
Fred, poke some more fun at me. Make jokes about me in front of a pretty girl. Go ahead. Have some big laughs. I'm down. Kick me. Step on me. Wipe your feet on me.
Oh, Jerry, stop. I don't poke any fun at you. Think of all the times I've defended you.
You defending me?
Well, of course, many times. You're such an ungrateful person.
I'm ungrateful? Well, what did you ever do for me? Give me a for instance. I'll gratitude you.
Boy. Please. Don't get into an argument on my account. I think you're both very nice.
And we think you're very nice, too, Mary. Gee, you're beautiful and glamorous.
Sure, Mary's a cover girl, a sweater girl.
Hey, Dean, why is it they always call a pretty girl a sweater girl?
Well, you know how they take hundreds of tiny fibers of wool and interlace them into one fine, delicate thread, and then they weave all those fine, delicate threads into one beautiful garment?
Yeah?
Well, that's got nothing to do with it.
You know, Dean, I've been looking forward to singing a duet with you tonight.
Duet? How about making it a trio? And then I can sing, too. Good idea?
I'm sorry, Jerry. We'd like to have you sing along with us, but your voice doesn't fit with ours, you know.
Doesn't fit? Okay, Dean Martin, I'm not going to stand around here and have you differentiate me. Anyone who doesn't consider anybody else and furthermore extremities that might continue anyone else's feelings, you just don't say that one is different than the other, considering one man's viewpoint, although I'm not in a position to say that a wrong or right could ever be accomplished by someone that's not as well as I.
Would you mind repeating that?
Sure, if a man is going to stand...
Jerry! Now, look, Jerry, for one thing, a singer must be able to read music. You have to sing the same notes we do.
That's right, Jerry. Can you read music?
No, can you?
Of course I can read music.
You can, eh? Go ahead and read what it says on this music page here.
It says, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Do, ti, la, so, fa, mi, re, do.
No wonder I couldn't read it. It's written in code. Look, if you won't let me sing with you, I'll lead the band.
Lead the band? Jerry, do you know how to lead a band?
Do I know how to lead a band? I just suggested leading the band, and you have the nerve to ask me if I know anything about it.
Do you?
Well, no.
No, I didn't.
But don't worry about me, Dean. You take care of the singing, and I'll take care of the conducting.
You'll take care of the what?
I said you take care of the singing and I'll take care of the conducting.
Why do you leave the last word up in the air? It's the end of a sentence. You're through with it. There's a period there. You don't need it anymore. You would say, I'm going to the corner. Not, I'm going to the corner. I mean, who talks like this?
Oh, you talk the way you want to talk. I talk that way because listen.
Jerry, Mary and I are going to sing. So if you're going to lead the band, all right, lead it.
All right, I will. All right, men. One, two.
My darling.
My darling.
To call you my darling for many and many a day.
My darling.
My darling.
I fluttered and fled like a starling. My courage just melted away.
Now all at once. And there's not a thing I'm saying alone.
to the name of my daughter. It's here. I'm sane enough to say, except my darling.
My darling.
Get used to the name of my darling. It's here.
I think that you are a very lovely girl. I hope that we will grow to mean a lot to one another. I want that you should wear my skate key around your swan-like neck.
Jerry, offering a girl your skate key? What's the matter with you?
I don't know. Just youth, I guess. Mad, mad youth. Mary, lovely Mary. Do you really care?
Yes, Gerald. I can't hide my feelings any longer.
Nor I mine.
It's useless to continue to hide it.
Shall we say Pepsi-Cola and madness at four?
Well, I love y'all too, lovely Mary. And I wish that you would wear my little old snuff box around your little old neck. You little old. Sammy. Do you all really all care?
I sure do, Colonel. You're my honey lamb.
Well, shut my old boll weevil.
Shall we say Dr. Pepper and a little devilman at four? How does that strike you, lasses?
What you say, ma'am?
Well, don't you? You don't quite understand me.
Man, I don't understand you. And I don't understand how we got down south. Now, let's get out of there.
Don't give me that.
Well, let's be serious for a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, just to show you one of the nice things that can happen to a couple of newcomers in Hollywood, meaning Jerry and me, we'd like to introduce our guest for the evening, one of the town's better actors.
Yeah, he's soon going to be seen in the picture version of his very famous radio show, The Life of Riley.
It gives us great pleasure to introduce a great guy, and we're happy to have him with us, Mr. William Bendix.
Thank you, boys. Now, before we set... What is that, mule bedding up there?
before we start...
Let me get you two boys straight now. Now, which is which here?
Well, I'm Dean Martin, the singing half of the team.
Oh, good. I won't have to laugh at you.
I'm Jerry Lewis. I'm the funny half of the team.
Yeah.
I tell the jokes.
With a kisser like that, you got to tell jokes.
Wait a minute, Mr. Bendix. What's wrong with the way I look?
Well, I don't like to be ungentlemanly, but do you always comb your hair like that?
Well, Jerry's head is a little unusual. You see, it's higher in the back than it is in the front, and it tilts down. That's why the hair grows that way, you know.
Looks like a load of coal sliding out of a dump truck.
Hey, Mr. Bendix, I would like you to know I don't happen to like that. Come on outside and say that.
Why should I?
Well, because there might be someone out there that didn't hear it.
Jerry, take it easy. Mr. Bendix is our guest. Really, Mr. Bendix, Jerry's a swell guy.
Oh, sure, sure, I know that. I was only kidding. I know he's a swell guy.
Why, you're just saying that to make me feel good.
That's right.
That's a fine way to treat me, William Bendix. Me, who had been a devoted and faithful fan of yours, and I've gone to see all the pictures you ever made in your whole life.
You're a fan of mine? How do you like that? I've been going around for years trying to find somebody who goes to see my pictures because I wanted to see what somebody who would like me looks like, and now I finally meet one of my fans face to face. I'm glad I got that one.
And it turns out to be me.
Yeah, what a revolting development this is.
Well, Bill, you know, Bill, when you're on a show like this, we...
Yes, I know.
Come in.
Well, I'm all through typing up the script. Oh! William Bendix.
Look out. Catch her, somebody. She's going to faint.
Now, stand back. Stand back.
What are you going to do?
I want to watch her fall. This is the first time I ever swooned a dame.
I'm not going to faint. I'm just weak from the thrill of being so close to you.
Oh.
You think I've met my big, wonderful dreamboat at last?
Bring her out of it. Slap her face.
You touch that girl, I'll break your arm.
I feel weak. Everything seems hazy and blurred. It looks like a load of coal sliding down a dumpster.
Jerry, get out of there.
Here are the scripts I typed up for you.
Okay, now you go over and sit down and take care of yourself, and maybe a little later you and me,
Oh, my. How could I say no?
Fine. Shall we say lemonade and necking at four?
Well, let's get going here, Bill. Yep. Here's your script, here's Jerry.
Oh, okay. Let's start from page one.
Yeah. I'll read the introduction. And now I would like to present one of Hollywood's top names, the sultry, tantalizing, ravishing...
Yes, that's me.
The dancing darling of the silver screen, Miss Rita Hayworth.
Oh, thank you, Dean Martin. You're a doctor. I ought to give you a big kiss for that introduction. Wait a minute. What is this? I'm not Rita Hayworth. I'm Errol Flynn. I'm William Bendix.
Yeah, Jerry, this is written for Rita Hayworth, not William Bendix. You brought this script in. Well, what happened?
I don't know. The writers I bought it from told me it was practically new and had only been used once, and the price was certainly right, $1.50.
Well, okay, I'll try to give you a performance. I'll get as close to Rita as I can.
Well, thanks, you're a prince. Well, here we go. Rita, how does it feel to be Hollywood's outstanding glamour girl?
Oh, I'm really just a simple homebody at heart.
Gee, Rita, what a deep voice you got.
Yeah, maybe I ought to try that a little higher.
Yeah.
Yes, my greatest joy is to go home from the studio and wash out all my silk things in the sink, my slip, my nightie, my stockings, my... Oh, look, fellas, I can't go through with this.
Bendix, people are listening.
Yeah, that's what I'm worrying about.
Ah, come on, Bill. Nobody really believes you're Rita Hayworth.
I do, but I'm only 23 years old. What do I know? Brooklyn to hear this.
Yeah, well, that does it. I ain't reading any more of this stuff. I'm getting out of here.
But, Bill, why are you so sore?
Why am I sore? I just happened to think of something. I got talked into this thing. What if my sponsor heard this show? He'll say to me, oh, you go over to the Martin and Lewis show and you make a big fool of yourself. And I'll say, I didn't make a fool of myself. And he'll say, don't get snippy with me, Bendix. And I'll say, Bendix gets snippy with anyone he wants to. And we'll get into a big argument and I'll hit him in the jaw and he'll fire me. And all because you made me play Rita Hayworth. People like you that cause unemployment.
You can't do better than to buy U.S. savings bonds. They're safe, guaranteed by your government. Profitable. $4 for every $3 you've invested. and they're convenient to buy. Purchase them where you work through the payroll savings plan, or use the bond a month plan where you bank.
I think you were the most wonderful thing in the whole show.
Jerry, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Stop talking and go to sleep.
Hmm? Okay. Dean?
Yeah?
I'm sorry what I said during the show about you picking on me and abusing me. I didn't really mean it.
Forget it.
No, I can't forget it. And Dean, there's something I've been wanting to say to you for a long time. I don't know what I'd do without you. You always help me out. And when I like courage and... Well, you're always there to give me confidence, and when I feel blue and I'm all alone in the world, I come to you with my troubles, and Dean...
Yeah?
You're the type of guy I've always wanted for a mother.
Ah, Jerry, stop. Stop being so sentimental. Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody.
Marvin Miller speaking. You have just heard the new Martin and Lewis show. If you enjoyed them, tune in again each Tuesday night at the same time. Next week, our guest will be Jimmy Durante.
The Martin and Lewis Show on 2 and 2 yesterday from April 10th, 1949 on NBC. That brings to a close this hour of comedy on 2 and 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.